Alleluia, Christ is risen. Good. It sounds like we're getting warmed up. Beautiful thing to see as the sun is rising, illuminating what we were just singing about the angel clad in white who sits and speaks unto the three. Your Lord will go to Galilee, and the only way he can go there is because he is risen. He is alive. So if we, many of us have been together during these 3 days, the Triduum, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and now Easter Sunday. We've been on this journey with Jesus, and we, on Maundy Thursday, we talked about singing his bleeding love, and then we see it and sing it all the more on Good Friday as Jesus, the man of sorrows, suffered and sympathizes with and for you and me. And there are things, especially on Thursday and Friday, that are, well, they're sad. But the sadness doesn't last forever. In the third book of The Lord of the Rings, it is the noble, humble hobbit, Sam Gamgee, who asks Gandalf the Wizard, "Is everything sad? Going to come untrue?" And the answer to that is, and the answer that we can give in the church, I don't think Gandalf said it exactly this way, but is everything sad going to come untrue? And the answer to that is, can I get a amen? Yeah, as Lutheran Christians, you know, we're usually standing and shouting amen a lot during the sermons. Amen, yeah, can I get an amen, which means yes, absolutely, it is certainly going to be true. But how do you know that? Well, I'll tell you how. Because, alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Early in 1 Corinthians 15:26, St. Paul says that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And in that truth, and in that reality, we know and confess that changes everything. But we also can acknowledge when things are sad. We can acknowledge when things are messed up, when they are not as God intended. The theologian N.T. Wright says that to say that death is anything less than an enemy is to deny. Deny the goodness and the beauty and the power of God's good creation. And so the ultimate point of the resurrection is the defeat of death. The death is defeated. And the King, the one to whom a week ago on Palm Sunday the crowds shouted out, "Hosanna," or "Hoshana," "Save us now, we beg, please," that the King, Jesus, is alive. So it's in that spirit, then, that later in 1 Corinthians 15, as Pastor Luke and I have been preaching through the epistles during this Lenten and now Easter season, it's in that spirit that St. Paul here at the end of the epistle, because ultimately the resurrection holds things together, he says initially that flesh and blood, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Because the perishable, it cannot inherit the imperishable, Paul says. And then he says, and Pastor Luke read it, and I think I've just about got it memorized. Probably because at least half of the funerals over almost 14 years now, I've read it. I've heard it. It is a triumphant defiant portion of Scripture. I mean, that's the way that Pastor Luke and I have talked about this. I mean, Pastor Luke is really coarse about this, that it's really, it is in some sense giving Satan the finger, right? That Christ is risen. Is that what you meant by that? Yeah, Christ is risen. And I used to be able to read it that way and say it that way. But it gets harder, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But Paul says, well, here's a mystery. The ESV says, look or behold. I think the NIV says, listen. Listen. Drew, are you listening? Okay. Listen, I tell you a mystery. And I don't know if that listen is a, you need to be soothed. Just listen. Listen a minute. Just come here. I don't know if the listen is, listen, listen up. Drew, are you listening? Okay, good. Drew recently started saying listen when trying to get our attention at home, so I thought that was fitting for you, Drew. Listen! Or just now, listen. I'm going to tell you how this is. Just listen a minute. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. It means we shall not all die a physical death. Because, I mean, and perhaps if Christ returns today, you and I will not die a physical death. And the Corinthian Christians in the first century, they were ready. Any moment now. He says, we shall not all sleep or die a physical death, potentially. But he says, regardless, we shall all be changed. Because transformation, total transformation, is necessary. It is required. And he says, this is how long it's going to take. In a moment, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet will sound. Ambrose Astor, the early Christian, he says that this last trumpet, it is the sound of victory. It is the sound of triumph. That the battle, it's over. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Because death is defeated. The King is alive. So he says, that trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. Imperishable. It's decay's reversal. You and I are all decaying. We have a compost bin now, and I'm just eager for the stuff to decay in the compost bin. But this is the opposite of that. Imperishable. Flourishing. And we shall be changed. Completely. And he goes on, he says, this perishable body, decaying body, must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on the immortal. Mortal body puts on the immortal. Immortal, incapable of dying. In our committal service, and it was one of the Lenten texts from Philippians 3:30, at the committal service it says that Christ will change our lowly bodies, our perishable bodies, our mortal bodies, to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subdue all things to Himself. And then Paul says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, when that happens, and the mortal puts on immortality, and this is what gets me. See, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and when the mortal puts on immortality, this is the word that gets me, because I am living in attention right now. Because it says, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. the saying that is written is death is swallowed up in victory. It gets harder and harder. I told you before, Pastor Luke and I learned this. We're not necessarily supposed to cry at funeral sermons. And I've told you every funeral sermon and service is an Easter service. And that's why it gets harder. Death is swallowed up in victory. And then it says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And you know, every time I'm reading this, you know where it is? Right in front of me. Right there. That's where the casket usually is positioned. Right there. I know where it is. Death is swallowed up in victory. It's referring to, I think, Isaiah 25, a beautiful passage of Scripture. That on God's holy mountain, there will be feasting, and there will be rich food, and there will be aged wine, well refined. And it says that on God's holy mountain, He will swallow up death forever. The problem is, we're not there yet. Because I'm reminded of it. Again and again, I'm reminded that I am perishable. And so are you. That I am mortal. And so are you. It says that the last enemy to be nullified, to made into nothing, is death. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death is the enemy. And then Paul says that, well, the sting of death is sin. Because after all, you and I only die because we're sinners. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. I think St. Paul references this in Romans 7 about the good that he should do, he doesn't do, and the things that he's not supposed to do, he wants to do those. I think it's in simple ways. I mean, I'm fine with a lot of things until you tell me I can't do it. I'm fine with a lot of things until you tell me I have to do it. I mean, that's something that's maybe a daily reality for some of us. Oh, I was indifferent. Oh, you said I have to do it? Well, no way. Lord, have mercy. And He does. He hears our Hosanna. He has heard and He still hears. Lord, save us now. So Paul says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory. That death is defeated. The King is alive. And we sing of His bleeding love. We sing of His living love. His breathing love. And throughout eternity, our song, it will not be taken away. It will only get clearer and louder. It will never be silenced. Anthony Esselin, the writer, he says that true Christians don't just talk about religion or a system of religion, but we talk about and we sing about, you know who we talk and sing about?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. And we don't just say, well, you know, it's a historical fact. I mean, you can say this. Christ rose from the dead. He did. But we say it differently. Don't we? We say, let's try it again. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And see, that is a defining, not only moment, but reality, because everything is changed. Our lives are changed forever. Now, it takes faith and hope to believe it and trust in it on those gray and weary days. But we are friends. We are sons and daughters of the living Lord and King. We are witnesses to the transforming power of the resurrection. And we can be honest. Look, this present flesh and blood, it will decay and die. But God intends, God wills a new world, a new creation. And in that new creation, and Jesus already is reigning, we're in the now, but the not yet, then shall come to pass. In that world, in that new creation, on the eighth day, decay and death, well, they're not merely accommodated or explained away. They're not to be bargained with. Don't need to litigate. They are defeated, destroyed, nullified, made to nothing. At the beginning of the school year, we talked about, and it still is going to be our theme for the National Youth Gathering, in Colossians 1:15-20, that in all things are held together by Jesus. All things were created in Him and through Him and by Him and for Him. And part of that, we said, and Pastor Luke and I are doing this as we come up to Confirmation Sunday in just 2 weeks, that the goal, not only for the confirmands, but for all of us, is to tell the story of your baptism. And there's the font. To tell the story of your baptism, and one of the Easter epistle lessons is from Colossians 3, and it says that you are hidden in Christ, that you and I are baptized, and you have been raised. You've been crucified with Christ, but also raised with Christ. And your life is safe and secure. It really is, as you're hidden in Christ, with Christ, in God. And so that story, the true story, the reality is, yes, everything has changed. It does take faith and hope to believe it, but it is all about Jesus. And this is the story that the Scriptures tell in many and various ways. But it has come true. The story of all creation reaching its intended design and purpose, what God intended. It's the story of enemies being defeated, and whether that is Egypt or Assyria or Babylon or Rome, or ultimate enemies, sin and death and the power of the devil. It is the story, the reality, the song of God's victory, the Creator's victory for you and me. It is trusting and confessing that, yes, there are sad things, but one day is coming when all the sad things come untrue. And that is because of Jesus, the one who is the way and the truth and the life, the one who is the light that the darkness will never overcome. Death is swallowed up in victory. And as we see it and mark it, yes, we can say that is awful, but in the face of that, we say, I know that my Redeemer, our Redeemer, lives. And He has stood upon the earth, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come again. And on that day that He comes again, we will say, death, where's your victory? Death, where is your sting? On that day when Jesus reaches down and pulls unless he comes back today, and we haven't died yet, and pulls you and me out of your grave to behold him face to face, but then to see all of creation, brothers and sisters, and those who are now asleep, safe and sound in Jesus, will be awakened to life, to immortal life. Bodies that are imperishable, to be like Jesus, our Savior and Lord, the one who is our song of Alleluia or Hallelujah. And that being said, when we are in the presence of the King, and because on that day when we are raised, you're going to be able to stand up. So in the spirit of that, I think we're going to close the sermon with the Hallelujah or Alleluia chorus. So I'll say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.